comes and shares the word of God. God bless you, Sarah.
Thank you. Good morning. Labdi sounds off a happy this morning. That's good. It's a happy time, isn't it? Full of joy. We can be joyful in the Lord. Right. So Kevin's doing a series on Mary. So when he was speaking last week, I kept thinking about Mary as well. But nay, Jesus' mom, Mary. So we're still on a series on Mary, but it's a different Mary. It's nae scary Mary. It's nae Mary Berry. It is Mary of Bethany that I'm going to speak on today. So I've changed it up a wee bit, but I've cleared it with the boss, so we're okay. So we're going to read from Mark 14, and we'll get started at verse 1. So it's Mark 14, verse 1, and we'll end at verse 9, and that'll be our starting point for the day. Right. Now, the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them at any time you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." So that's a word. So I'll just set the scene a wee minute. So I was reading about us this week, and I thought, right, Bethany, far was Bethany at? Bethany was a village 2 miles outside the city of Jerusalem. And this was far Mary and Martha and Lazarus were fae, and Simon the leper, far we find Jesus sitting at. So Jesus frequented there, and it was a place of rest for him. And when I was thinking about this village 2 miles outside Jerusalem, I just thought, was maybe a way to be like Belgar. Ken, I like to go here sometimes for a cup of tea. I think it's the only thing I do when I go to Belgar, actually, is I go for a cup of tea. It's either at my granny's or sometimes I'm in Chris and Charlie's. So when I think about Belgar, it's a fine little place. I go for a little chill, and I find news, and I find click, and a cup of tea. So I thought it was maybe a bit like that. It was maybe nothing like that, but that's what I just thought about this week. I was thinking about Belgar. And it was 2 days before the Passover festival, and Jesus was reclining at a table. And 2 days before this festival, it meant this was a few more days, and Jesus would actually be arrested. And here he was, surrounded by trusted friends. He was reclining at this table. And I just thought, what a picture, or reclining, or coming round a table with Jesus. And I just thought, the day, right for the very start, let's just come round the table with Jesus, like, and just fellowship with him. As I'm speaking, as you're listening, let his spirit speak to your heart and come round the table with Jesus. And he was surrounded by his friends, his disciples, and the company that he wanted to be in. It all sounds nice and normal, and enjoying the Lord's presence. And I was just thinking about this. I wonder, it was on the run-up to a big festival. I wonder if what they were speaking about around this table. Were they discussing the upcoming festivities that were happening there? I mean, it wasn't a Christmas, but it was a major festival for them. What were they speaking about with the Lord around a table at this time? I was like, were they thinking about their community choirs that they were in? Were they speaking about the Nights of Joy? You just didn't care what they were speaking about. about, or were they speaking about their neighbours, about the lights that were going on? I mean, this week, no, it was last week, I came out my door and my neighbour had lit in our house up. There were some bony lights in our bushes, and there was bony lights in our windows, and there was just coloured bulbs in our muck. And I stopped in front of the house and I was like, "Mom, I think we need to up our Christmas game this year." Right? And I think she looked at me and thought I was just being funny. But I wasn't, because during my dinner hour the Monday after, I ran to Home Bargains and I bought all the lights. I messaged my neighbour and asked her if she got her lights for. So I did. I ran to Home Bargains. So now if you pass Fingask Road, it's all lighted up. And I was switching them on and my other neighbour came to me and she's like, "Oh, my loony's telling me I've got to get the same lights as you guys in your bushes." And I was like, "Home Bargains, $12.99, operated by batteries." So I'm on a mission to get my street lighted up like Blackpool. So I think it's happening. The quine across the road's got more lights on our trees. So it's great just to get excited about festivities. And I wonder, were they getting excited around this table with Jesus? Because, like, he wants to get excited about this stuff with us at this season. Like, we want to hear these moments with him as well, as Kevin spoke about. But he gets excited about this time because we're our family. He wants to touch their lives. He wants to touch your lives. And it's good to get excited about this stuff as well. The Lord is very much in it, even if it means running to Home Bargains and telling your neighbors to light up their house like Blackpool. I think he likes these kind of things. Round the table, it's a special place with Jesus. And we like that, don't we? When you get round, or something special about getting round the table with somebody that you can and having a click. Even at house church last week, we had a newer discussion, and then we had a newer round the table. There was a group of us in Helen's house. And we even had a discussion about how rare it was to have a click round the table. And how special it was. And it is. It's because you just start connecting with one another in a special way. It's like a part of community. And it's just brilliant. And there's something quite special about just connecting in a community. And I would encourage you to get round the table this December. Like, fucking you invite room for a coffee round your table and have a click. I love a click. Because you get to ken stuff about folk that you didn't ken. Because I'll tell you, there were some stories happening last Sunday. Adie and Lorraine, they have got some stories to tell you about them growing up. I found out how they met. I found out how Lorraine's dad never called him Adie for a long while. He was just referred to as the laddie that came up for Glasgow. I was like, I love hearing stuff about like that for folk. It was just great to hear time running Helen's house and just hear special time. It's important to do these things with each other. I got excited about that at my house church. It's like, yes, look at us, fellowshipping. So they're on the table, and then in comes Mary. Mary of Bethany, nae Mary Benny, Mary Berry, so there was nae cakes, but it was all right. She comes in, and Jesus cares for Mary. She is Martha and Lazarus' sister. And I thought, that's siblings, didn't they? Bad, didn't they? See, when you read about him in the Bible, you've got Lazarus, he was dead, he came back. And Martha and Mary are stories about them. I thought, hey, see if I was their mom and dad, I'd be like, check, my bairns, get a shout out in the Bible. I thought, us siblings are not bad. Mary comes in, and she's got an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume. And what she does is, she bracks it. And she pours the entire contents, or she pours the oil, on Jesus' head. So it's time for a wee bit of fun facts with Sarah. I was looking at this alabaster jar because I just sometimes think, oh, about a perfume bottle. Can you go into duty free and you get a cheap bit of perfume and squish the entire contents and then you didn't buy it. You just keep the smell for a while. And I was like, well, they wouldn't have bottles of perfume like that with us, right? So you've got the alabaster jar and I looked into this. Now, this whole jar would have been sealed because the oil was so precious and they didn't want to lose only the smell, the fragrance of it. It would have been completely sealed. So if you wanted to use it, you had to brack the actual jar so that you would have used the entire contents of it. And I also read that in the days of Jesus, When a young woman reached the age of availability for marriage, her family would purchase an alabaster box for her and fill it with precious ointment. And the size of the box and the value of the ointment would parallel her family's wealth. And this alabaster box would have been part of her dowry when she got married. Now, I'm not saying that this box was fit Mary hid, but it might have been. And I found it really interesting when I read these kind of things about the alabaster box in ancient times. So I was just thinking maybe it was a precious item for her, regardless of how she came about it. But I also read something that it was not uncommon for dinner guests to be anointed during a meal if they come round, but the extravagance or the amount of oil or perfume that Mary had used was unusual. And this is what was unusual about it, the extravagance. It really was an all or nothing kind of deal. Because once you crack it open, the hail oil comes out, okay? So it was an all or nothing kind of deal. And I was writing this during this week, and I thought, all or nothing kind of deals. And I thought, it's kind of like marriage, isn't it, right? It's one of these decisions that you sit down with your partner or your girlfriend or boyfriend, and you're discussing this whole concept of marriage. And it's kind of like you're deciding to go at it all or nothing. Because you didn't turn around and say, Kenneth, I fancy getting married. But I'm not that committed to the idea, but we'll do it anyway. Or you're saying, Kenneth, we'll get married, and maybe if I didn't feel like it, one of the months I'll ging away somewhere else, I'll do what I want, and I'll pop back in when I feel like seeing you again. But it's very much one of these all or nothing decisions that you might queen into that. It's like death do us part. Until I'm put in a box and in a hole and a what heaven, I've got to bide with this person for the rest of my life. And I think this is quite a scary and big decision sometimes. To willingly give your whole self, like nae going back, death do us part, you're going to bide with them in this permanent agreement before the Lord. And it can be quite a scary thing to think about. It's like, that's my whole life. It's an all or nothing kind of deal. But it's not the only, you're not only thinking about the scary stuff. Like, there's a reason that you're spending time with each other, isn't there? Like, you like each other. Well, I hope you are, right? Or you're not thinking about marriage, because it's not a marriage or a convenience. It's like you found somebody that you kind of like. Like, oh, they're not bad. They're quite funny. I wouldn't mind spending some time with them. And the benefits for you in this situation far outweigh are the scary stuff. You're like, yes, I'm going to be with this person every day. I'm going to smell their bad breath when I'm waking up in the morning. I'm going to have to deal with the clothes lying away. But you're not thinking about that. You're thinking, no, I like being with this person. They make me laugh. We make good memories with each other. Like, you're in love with them. And there's just something that you can't quite explain about as two human beings deciding, I like you, you like me, let's make a family together, let's go and bide with each other. It's an all or nothing deal, but it's in. You're on for it. It's like no Edmonds and deal or no deal. You're like, deal. I'm going to get ready, I'm going to have a massive celebration, get married, and I'm going to be with you for the rest of my life. It's exciting. It's a good thing. Can you decide you're willing to compromise parts of your lives for each other? And you're thinking, right, I'm going to do this, we're going to make memories, and we're going to make an impact on earth together. I don't know what to do it myself, we're going to do it together. It's a joyful moment. Mind, it was a couple of years ago, I just began to get really excited about going to folks' weddings. I just thought it was one of the happiest things that I could ever see, as two folk deciding before the Lord, and they're going to get married, and they want to be in another. It truly is exciting to see two folk embark on this journey before the Lord. And I was thinking about my pal Mary. And I'm thinking, I think she was an all or nothing kind of girl, her. Before she broke us perfume, she comes in, she busts in. She never busted in. I'm using a bit of creative license here, so forgive me, right? I'm just chilling at the table, okay, and having a meal or the meal's coming. She just comes in. And she's like, here's my very expensive perfume, and I'm just going to crack the whole thing open. She just does it. And like, the guys or fathers are around her going, what a waste of money. But she's just there. She's like, I'm all or nothing. Oh, man, I'm just going to want to do it. And there's just something about that. When I read about that, I get excited. I was like, I relate to that, and I can. Sometimes I get opportunities with the Lord, and I do count the cost, but I'm like, oh man, I just want to do it. It's because I'm committed to something, but the benefits of it is far outweighing are the scary bits for me. And I just loved reading about this all or nothing kind of girl. Because Jesus is like that. He's all or nothing. It's like he wants the hail of your life. And he loves the hail of you. He made you, every part of you, and every day that you hate, that's what he wants. He's like committing himself to you like a marriage, and he's in it. The bad breath days, the hairy days, he's in it. He does not just want the good bits, but he sees all the moments in your life that nobody else sees in us building. As a church, we're close, but I'm not that close to you that I can every secret moment of your life. Our moments are reserved only for the Lord, because he sees every one of them, and he still wants to be with you. I mean, that is an amazing in itself. He sees every moment of your life. I have to share a story. Mom was there, so it doesn't matter that she's not here. But I didn't care. I must have been a really busy week, and I was thinking, I've got a DS, I've got a DS, I've got a DS, I've got a DS. And I was at my living room door, and in mine, my mom said to me, I can't imagine if she'd asked my question or asked me to do something. And I just turned around and I was like, well, I've got a DS, a builder, and I've got a DS, and I've got a DS. And see, the morning's morning, Mom. It just starts all again. And I'm pretty sure that's how I said the words to her. And then after that, I get a wah in my car. And I felt like the worst quine in the world. I thought, oh my goodness. I've just, a massive outburst to my mom. I was having a scary Mary moment. That's what it was, right? I was being scary Mary. And I went into my car, and I just felt a bit of a failure. I'd been so ratty, and I'd been horrible to my mom, and I thought, I'm supposed to be a Christian. We've all been here, beating ourselves up. And I was just driving. I think I was maybe going to the beach. I can't mind why. Sometimes I sit here, and I like to watch and read. And I just felt in my spirit, the Lord said, Sarah, I want every day. I want every day of your life, even your scary Mary days. And then I was like, nah, like completely bursting into tears in a car. I was like, he wants my scary Mary days. And I mind getting home to tell my mom. I can't even mind if I apologize to her for being scary Mary, but I mind telling her that, Lord help me, he wants my scary Mary days. And she's probably thinking, oh, I've stuck with him and all. Poor mom. Yeah. So he wants every moment. See? I thought I was perfect, didn't you? I'm near. She'd come and spend a couple of days with me in my house. So it's like only great relationship that you encounter in life. Ken, there can are scary moments, and we can hear it with Jesus as well. And we've all got questions when we get into relationships. It's like, why should I trust this Jesus? Why does he want my life? Like, what's his motive? Sometimes we've got these thoughts, like, what's the ulterior motive here? Why should I let him be Lord or my life or my situation? Should he be Lord or my house or my family or my parents or my finances, my job? Like, he really wants all these things. Can I trust him with that? Is he going to let me down? Is he going to walk out in me? Will I be left with nothing? It's like we want to hold on to a lot of things because we didn't care if we can trust this Jesus, if we can go all in, if we can say a deal and say no deal. And sometimes we look at all these Christians that are just living this extravagant life unto the Lord and thought, why are these Christians so nuts? Why are they handing on? Why are they trusting him? We're trusting in the Lord. It's Jesus that we sit and speak about. It's him that we're in a relationship with. We're trusting in him. This is why we do these extravagant, naughty things. But it's normal to hear questions about Jesus asking us all or nothing. But what he's really asking is for you just to step out that bit and to trust in him. Trust that he is what he says he is. And he is going to come through for you. We can count on him. And I can honestly stand here today and say it is the most fruitful and dependable relationship I have ever encountered in my life. And he's just worth every single second of scary Mary moments. He's been the cure for loneliness and lonely days, the reason for joy, the responsible for satisfaction that I've got in my heart. He's just worth that alabaster box. Extravagant. I was thinking about the word extravagant because the alabaster box was extravagant to Brack for Jesus. And I don't care about you, but I like extravagant people. Or something like about a good, loud, odd ball. And I don't care why. I just like them. I like being around them. They make my laugh. They make me come alive. I'm like, ah, oh, yes, they're not scared to be bold. And it kind of rubs off a while. And I just like odd, extravagant people. And I think sometimes, and I'm not just speaking about you guys when I say we, I'm speaking about us generally in the population of Britain and me, that we get offended sometimes at extravagance, especially in the corner. Like if there's somebody being quite extroverted in the corner, and we're like, oh, I didn't like. We're like to say, oh, I didn't like. And we're really, really British, aren't we? Sometimes about these kind of things. And it's a good culture to be born in. I'm nae knocking British culture because we have got a good thing going in this country. And that's why I'm committed to praying for it. So if you want to pray, come along tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at the prayer meeting as well. Little plug. Feel free to come along. If you want to experience some extravagance and oddball moments, come along to the prayer meeting. That's all I'll say. I'll just leave that there. But sometimes I think, see, when you watch some Americans and they're quite exuberant in how they are. And I've been in a lift. I was in Japan and I was in a lift and there was two really larger than life Americans came in. And I have to say, I was quite offended by their extravagance. Like, I had spent 4 weeks with Asian people and they're really humble and quiet and gentle and soft. They're lovely and so hospitable. And we're just enjoying our quiet space in the lift. And there's these two large American ladies come in the lift. And they're like, did you see these historical articles here about Japanese history? And I am just standing on it. I am enjoying the culture. This is an artistic establishment. Do you need a key? And there's a volume control. So I was quite offended at these ladies' extravagance in the lift. I was stuck with it. But sometimes I think we can learn from them, especially in our spiritual life, I think. And I think that for myself and I was like, can if I could just be extravagant. Do you ever feel like being extravagant? And I just feel like there is folk in this room and you just want to be extravagant in your worship and your deeds. Maybe there's been times in this building in a Sunday morning where you've really wanted to just shout out during worship. Or maybe you've just wanted to put your hands up. Or maybe you've wanted to give thanks. Maybe your heart's really been burning during a time of thanks. Or from worship song, it's like, oh, I really just want to go to the front and put my hands up. Or I just want to say thank you. Or I just want to say the name. I just want to say, yes, Jesus. And I think God's right. And I want to encourage you just to go for it. And I really sense that there's thumping hearts in us place because there's a passion building up in the body right now for the name of Jesus and for his worship. We see it in your deeds already. And I want to encourage you, just go for it. Be bold. Be extravagant in how you express your love towards the Lord and your friends. Just go for it. And sometimes we think, oh, they'll maybe think I'm weird. Well, let me tell you, we already think you're weird, right? So just do it anyway, right? So just go for it. Just be bold. And maybe you've just got a heart and you see folk getting excited and you think they have got something. I want that. I just want to ken that joy or that peace or that confidence that they've got. Well, let me tell you, it's Neos. It's the Holy Spirit. And there'll be a time of prayer at the end. And if you have got a desire to encounter that with the Lord to be transformed, because what you see in our lives is not us. Like, I am actually quite quiet. I'm a quiet person. I like to read a book, and I'd be quite happy in a corner, not speaking to anybody reading a book. But see, when the Lord starts doing something in my life, there's just something happens, and I can't ever stop sometimes. And it's because it's him. It's nothing to do with me. And he just produces this extravagance that is just one of the most enjoyable parts of my life. And if you want some of that, some of Jesus, just come up for prayer. Be extravagant in your desire for seeing God move in your own life the day. Like, at alabaster jar was worth something. And a question I wrote down was, is he worth it? Was Jesus worth the amount in that jar? And Mary saw that he was. And I just think in her heart, she thought he was worth more than that. And that was the only thing that she could find, actually, to express how she felt in that moment. Sometimes I'm thanking the Lord for something, and actually, and I got a word to say thank you. I think there's a song, How Do I Say Thank You? It's a Bethel song. And I sing it because I kind of think of anything else to say. I think she found that he was worth it. Was Jesus worth it? Is he worth it? Maybe that's a question you've got. Okay, he's asking me to go in all or nothing. Is he worth it? Well, the short answer is yes. He is. Every single time. Always. Is he worth the cost? Because choosing to follow Jesus will cost you something. It'll cost you your time, your choices, your decisions. It'll cost you your right to be right all the time. It costs you your whole life. He asks for your whole life. But I always remember this verse in Matthew 16. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. And it's like the things that you give up are restored to you back tenfold. There's things that I had close and didn't want to let go. And eventually I say, okay, I'm in it, all or nothing. And he just restores and he comes and he gives himself and you realize that he's worth every single thing, every single decision. But maybe like Mary, you've been told, what's a waste of time? Like she says, what a waste that jar of perfume was. What a waste, Mary. Didn't I waste your time in that church stuff? Didn't I waste your time trying to love that person back to health? Didn't I waste your time praying about that situation? Didn't I waste your time on God? Is he even real? He doesn't hear you. Listen to me. For everything that you are doing for the kingdom, I want to say, you are not wasting your time. God sees every single thing that you do unto him, unto the folk that you love, every prayer, every battle that you fight, he sees, and he is always worth it. He is always worth it. Keep fighting the good fight. Keep believing in this season. Keep loving that person that you are loving back to health, because he is with you, and he is always worth it. And Jesus, he would say, as he said to Mary in verse 6, you are doing a beautiful thing. And I love that line in that chapter. And he says, she has done a beautiful thing. And I just feel in my spirit that he sees the things that you are dealing with in your family, with your kids, with your cousins, with your neighbors, with your job, with your finances. Keep going, because God sees every little thing that you are doing for the kingdom. And he says, you are doing a beautiful thing. You are beautiful to him. So as I was tying up my message, he is always worth it. But I wrote down the last thing. And he says that you were worth it. He looked at you and he said, you are worth it. Days after that event in that room for Mary anointed Jesus, he would go into Jerusalem and he would be arrested. He would be crucified, and he would give up his entire life. Jesus was a Lord and knew fully if it was coming, and he fully decided to go into Jerusalem. He fully decided to die a horrendous death on a cross because he looked at you and he said, you were worth it. He did it. You were worth dying for. He decided, looking before his choices, because he wasn't just arrested, he allowed himself to be arrested. He chose to lay down his life and go to that cross. because he decided that he looked upon earth, he looked upon man, and you as an individual. This is a personal thing. The cross was for the world, but it's also a very personal place. He looks upon you and he says, you were worth it. He decided that he couldn't live without you any longer. Like that person that does a marriage proposal, he decides he can't be in a separate house for you anymore. He doesn't want to deal life with you any longer. Jesus looked at you in this very intimate and personal way and decided, I can't live without you, because there was a gap between you and the Lord that we could never actually get across. We've sung so many times about that this morning in worship, that there was a reason that Jesus actually died on the cross. It is because we were separated from God and he needed to make a way for us to be reunited to him. And he looked upon that situation and he looked at you and he said, you were worth it. And as I end this and come into land or come into prayer, Jesus actually stands this morning and says, how about it? Are you in all or nothing? Because the cross says this morning that you are worth it. The cross says that Jesus himself, the Lord, says, you are worth it. And he extends his hand out to you this morning and says, are you in? Are you in all or nothing? Are you in to learn that you can trust me? Because maybe you're in a place and you feel like, I didn't ken if I can trust again. Maybe you've been hurt in your relationships on earth that you think, I can't trust God that he's not going to do anything. But if you extend your hand to him, he comes alongside you and you learn that you can trust him. He is a safe place for you, for you can trust him. So I want everybody to close their eyes with heads bowed right now. And I'm not going to take it for granted that everybody has made that decision to trust in Jesus, to say, I'm in all or nothing, Lord. I didn't ken too much about you, but I just ken that God is speaking to my heart right now this morning. Maybe you've got a beating heart. Maybe you've heenin for a couple of weeks. And maybe this is your moment to say, Jesus, I'm in all or nothing this season. There's never always going to be a guaranteed moment for you to accept him. We're not guaranteed every day, but he stands here right now, not by mistake. You're in this building for a reason, because he wants your heart, because he loves you. And he looked at you and says, you are worth it. All it requires is for you to say, yes, Jesus. That's it. He doesn't put pressure on you. He's a desire for you. He wants to see your life turn around into the plans that he has for you. It's an exciting, crazy adventure you see us here. Dean Adventure Life, it's not always perfect, but we have got a rock that we stand on, and we want to invite you into the kingdom, to the family, because of Jesus Christ. And if you really feel in your heart this morning, just put up your hand. Nobody is looking at you. We're all going to pray together, but just put up your hand right now and say, I'm all in. I'm all in, Jesus. I'm all in. Thank you. You can put down your hand. And if you've never received Jesus for the first time and you want to step out and say, Jesus, I'm all in, just put up your hand. Be the bold, extravagant person that he has called you to be. Don't settle for less, because he has got more for you than you can ever imagine. And he's asking you, are you all in? Say yes to Jesus. And if that's you, I'll just leave it for a couple of more seconds. Just put up your hand and respond and say, yes, amen, Jesus. Amen, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. And we'll just pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you think that I was worth it. That you died on the cross for me. And Lord, I invite you to come into my heart. Be my Lord. Teach my love. Teach my extravagance. And clean up my life. We thank you for your blood so that we can be joyful. We can be set free and be with you. We thank you, Jesus. Gilbert, or worship band, somebody. I kind of see Gilbert, he's going. Oh, will you come up and play? If we just hear the worship band up. We're going to open up the front for prayer. I've said a lot of things this morning. Hopefully it made sense to you. But there's just really sense that our hearts burning in here that want to come to him and say, I'm all in. I'm all or nothing. I'm coming with my alabaster box. I want to come and bracket before you at the front and experience the fragrance of Christ in my life. If you want him, if you've got that desire, or you want to hear the desire, or you want to nay settle and want to go for the things that he has for you like Mary did. I'm sure there was more in Mary's life after this, that she went on in Jesus and experienced the adventure that she had in Jesus. And maybe one day we'll learn about that in glory, but we've got our own adventures to do on this earth that he's planned for you. And he wants to meet you in that place. And I want to open it up for prayer. If you want to experience that extravagance, we him. Or you want to say, all or nothing, Lord, I'm in. If you come to meet Jesus, your world will never be the same. If you have got a health issue this morning, you can meet Jesus right this very moment. Whether it's physical health, mental health, you come to the front and meet Jesus. Because he wants to meet with you. Because the great thing is that he died for us while we were sinners, while I was out causing havoc and a broch. Nae caring if I was dying, living a life of Riley. It was Jesus that pursued me because he comes to meet us first before we make that decision. Because he's always out to prove his love for you because he is love and he wants to pursue you in that place. So if you want to experience him that is pursuing your heart, whether you say the sinner's prayer or no, just come to the front and meet with Jesus. Even you guys that have been dying this life, with Jesus for 10, 20 years. He is never done pursuing your heart. He wants to pursue you the day, in the morn, and in Tuesday, and in Wednesday. He is just so full of things for your life. So as soon as we start saying, dinna wait, just come out. Wherever you are on that journey, he has got something for you this morning. And we have got a prayer team here that will gladly stand with you and see Jesus come and meet with you in a new way. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise, all the glory. We invite your spirit, God, in this place, Father, as we worship you. Let songs rise out of us of thankfulness and praise. You are awesome, and we love you, Lord. And we thank you that you've been with us this morning. Thank you, Jesus.